Hello and welcome to the good, the bad, the ugly, the aviation maintenance industry, raw and unscripted. In this bonus podcast, we talk about the Boeing 777X fiasco, and I'll give you an inside view on what is going on coming up. Hello and welcome to this bonus podcast. We're talking about the Boeing 777X fiasco and why the feds aren't going to allow Boeing to continue with their certification program for the test flights of this aircraft. I received some emails from some listeners asking for my input and what I think is really going on and what the problem might be. So let's dive right into it. So the 777X has been in development since mid-2013 and expected to release for full-scale production in 2020. But now the feds are withholding the TIA, so now it looks like it's going to be late 2024 until the aircraft can even begin production. So some background on this. On the 13th of May, the FAA sent a letter to Boeing stating it was not going to be certifying the aircraft test flight program, or the TIA was not going to be issued. The TIA is a FAA document which essentially is the authorization for a manufacturer to begin its formal flight test program and certifications on that aircraft. And these are aircraft that have been developed enough into several test models or test beds. And the next thing to be done is for the manufacturer, in this case Boeing, to be issued its TIA from the feds. Again, the TIA is a document that essentially tells the manufacturer that the feds have given their blessing and we're giving you the go-ahead. And once the TIA is issued, then Boeing has that blessing to proceed with its formal test flight program, and they get really excited, and usually there's a big special event. Everyone gets a special shirt or something goes on at the Boeing plant. But it's a big deal to get the type inspection authorization, the TIA. And in this instance, it wasn't granted by the FAA. So from what I can tell, there are several reasons for this. The first is it appears Boeing had not provided enough overall data for the test production aircraft to the feds' satisfaction. The second thing, they didn't put together a sufficient safety assessment for each of the major developmental milestones that occur throughout the test program of a new aircraft. And the safety assessments are really important because what happens is that after each major milestone throughout the developmental process, there's a separate group of engineers to get together and they essentially say what's the greatest risk factors, what's the percentage of these factors occurring, is there anything that we can do to remedy it or to redesign in order to prevent any issue from occurring. The third thing is there had been several software glitches in the fly-by-wire program, and these could cause uncommanded pitch issues. And this most recently occurred in December of 2020, where a 777X had a serious uncommanded pitch event. Now, neither Boeing nor the FAA have released anything publicly of what the actual cause of the uncommanded pitch was, but if I had to guess, based on my experience with the aircraft, it would have to be something to do with the software relating to either the primary flight computers, the PFCs, or the ACES system, the ACES. The primary flight computers calculate the control inputs from the pilots based on the software, they call them software control laws, and the built-in flight envelope protection. This sends a 629 bus command, which is nothing more than a digital signal, a fast digital signal, to the ACES systems. AC stands for the Actuator Control Electronics. What these do is they change the digital commands that the primary flight computers sent to them to an analog signal. They send these analog signals out to the control service PCUs, or the primary control units. These are the actuators on the primary flight controls that move them around. Now, some of this, in my opinion, my humble opinion, has to do with the 37 MAX crashes. So some of this is political pressure, right? Boeing dropped the ball on the 37 MAX. The feds dropped the ball on really becoming lax with Boeing on manufacturing oversight, certification oversight, overseeing the entire manufacturing and design process of the aircraft. I've also both received emails and had read online that a lot of people are upset over the, you know, the feds rubbing ass with Boeing. I cannot comment whether that really occurs or not, but again, in my humble opinion, does it? Probably there's a little bit more forgiveness that the feds give Boeing. But again, I haven't worked in the FAA. Although I worked for Boeing, I wasn't in the high tier ups where I was having meetings with the FAA. So I'm not, I've never been privy to that information. But we have to remember, with the evolution of next gen aircraft, software is becoming the basis of what is doing the flying, to put it simply. The difference being, with an analog aircraft, the pilot did the flying. No ifs, ands, or buts. The pilot was always doing the flying. But as aircraft have become smarter, it's come to the point where an aircraft can fly itself, it can land itself, and at some airports, they can even taxi themselves all the way to the gate. Look it up. It's true. I can do a whole nother podcast on that, but it I don't want to bore you. When I worked at Boeing, though, software was updated regularly, and the feds were made aware of the software changes, but they didn't ask a whole lot of questions about it. They figured, well, you know, yeah, they know what they're doing. Even aircraft that were in production could have 10 to 15 software updates in a day's time, and the oversight was, well, not well. There was not like the oversight that is occurring nowadays at Boeing. But the 777 is a pretty good plane. Although, again in the news, although there was on the 26th of June an incident where a 777 had two back-to-back rejected takeoffs due to erroneous smoke ECAS warnings in the crew rest module. Though not a regular occurring issue, I will tell you it does happen, and usually those are caused by either the left air conditioning pack ozone converter or one of the recirc pack filters being dirty or wet soaked. And what this does is it causes a non-harmful kind of smoky residue or mist that is released temporarily. And the sniffers, the detectors on the aircraft, pick this up and sometimes can give you a false smoke warning. And this also happens on other aircraft as well. But a warning is a warning, and a crew, you know, either does an air return, declare an emergency, you know, in the air, on the ground, they're still going to declare. And that's no fault of the crew. That is their procedure. You know, they have to take every warning as it's really happening. So they're doing their job, absolutely. Again, this is my take on what's going on and the FAA's reasoning. After the 37 MAX crashes, both the feds and Boeing got in a lot of trouble, and rightfully so, in my opinion. And now the feds are putting the pressure on Boeing to provide them with more data, so they're withholding the TIA for them. And I agree with it. I think that this is the right thing to do, because it's not worth rushing into building an aircraft just to compete with your other competitors. Thorough flight testing needs to be done, and the certification for it needs to get back on track. Nothing's to be gained by rushing the aircraft into production. And the lessons need to be learned, especially from the 787 debacle. And that was a huge failure for Boeing, and they're still in billions of dollars in debt over the 787 program. They're likely never going to recoup the amount of money that they put into it. So yeah, the feds did the right thing. And let's just hope that this gets back on track. So yeah, that's my take on it. I really appreciate you guys listening. And remember, I'll be releasing a podcast on the first and last Friday of every month starting next month. So stay tuned for that. As always, if you have any questions, thoughts, concerns, or if you want to share your stories and experience live on my podcast, reach out to me at apmechanicpodcast, one word, at aol.com. That's apmechanicpodcast, one word, at aol.com. Or find me on Twitter at goodbadugly_ap. Or find me on Facebook, goodbadugly_ap. So this is Brian Wheels. I really hope you enjoyed this bonus podcast. And until next time, take care and be safe. Talk to you later.